Are we all on, Libby? Not?
Yes. Yes. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. It's Andy Levine with ASTA. We appreciate you getting on the phone just for our weekly update and comments with respect to the COVID-19 activities. We appreciate all the input and support we've been getting from folks as you've addressed issues or run into issues out in the field, and we hope that we're getting information back to you that's helpful to those issues and what you're working through to provide seed and other products to your customers. So we'll go ahead and get started this morning, and as always, we ask that you RSVP with Ellen Zimmerman so we make sure we know who's on the line and also can forward anything out to the interested parties as issues come up. We've got a few things that will be rolling out next week with USDA, possibly the administration, but USDA has some payment information that will be going out. You'll hear about this morning. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the ASTA team. Jane, are you starting out this morning?
Actually, we're going to turn it over to Ellen first.
Okay. Ellen Zimmerman, can you kick us off this morning, please?
Yes, happy to. Thank you, Andy. Just wanted to share some updates as far as the resources go. We are continually updating the COVID-19 webpage within the betterseed.org website. We have updated the layout to hopefully make it a little easier to find resources for employers and employees looking for safety guidance. I want to call out our new AgSafe resources that we have online. We have the Agricultural Worker Safe Work Practices in English and Spanish, a COVID-19 checklist for agricultural operations, and Sample Injury and Illness Prevention Program Addendum. We also have a new CDC link that calls out is for the implementing safety practices for critical infrastructure workers and new OSHA guidelines. The member-only portal also has many more resources that are just for ASTA members. You can access the members-only site by clicking login in the top left corner of betterseed.org, or there are links within the COVID-19 hub. If you have issues logging in, feel free to email me at ezimmerman@betterseed.org, or feel free to give me a call at 419-618-7167. I'd be happy to help you with your login credentials. If you're looking for training or specific resources, please let me know so that we can work on scheduling webinars for those trainings with industry experts or finding those resources for you. Finally, we know many of you and your companies are going the extra mile and doing positive things to help your communities during these challenging times. If you or your colleagues have stories to share, please send them my way so we can share through the ASTA channels. That is all I have this morning. There will, of course, be time for questions throughout the call, so if you have a question, feel free to send them to me, ezimmerman@betterseed.org, and I'll be sure to get those in the queue. Thanks.
Thanks, Abigail. We appreciate it very much. Ellen, as she said, if you have any questions or additional information that you'd like to see on the website or can't access, her email address is ezimmerman@betterseed.org. Jane, we'll toss it over to you for domestic issues.
Sure. I'm going to start talking about the stimulus packages, which you guys are, I'm sure, seen quite a bit of news about, particularly the SBA loans, the PPP program. As you guys have seen in the paper, they have run out of money, and the Congress is working on replenishing that those funds. As we're hearing, the PPP program was part of what's known as the Phase 3 stimulus package, and so what we're hearing is that there's likely to be sort of a 3.5, which will cover the PPP program and hopefully additional resources for state and local officials and hospitals, and then there'll be a broader Phase 4 program rolled out after that. That is the current thinking that we're hearing in D.C., obviously things are subject to change. So as I've talked about before and Andy referenced, we think the next thing that will be rolled out as part of that CARES Act stimulus package will be direct payments and other assistance from USDA. The targets for that assistance are the produce industry, livestock industry, and dairy industry. What we don't know is if they will use the funds. They're talking about spending about $15 billion. If they will have additional money going for, say, the larger commodities or ethanol. Obviously, there's quite a lot of awareness of the stress on the ethanol industry and what that is doing to crop prices. But we don't know if that funding for those entities is going to come sooner or later during the summer. It's been unclear from what Secretary Perdue has been saying. So then as we look at what will be part of the Phase 4 stimulus package, there is an effort underway amongst a large group of commodity organizations asked as part of those conversations to put together sort of a general ask for ag, probably a combination of direct aid and also additional CCC funds. And that is still being discussed. Obviously, the needs in agriculture far outweigh the money that is so within the original stimulus package. And I know current needs are also, I mentioned the produce sector, also floriculture, the nursery industry. They have tremendous needs as well that hopefully will either be addressed in one of these packages as well. So in addition to that direct aid, likely to farmers, two other initiatives that AFSA is supporting. One is tax relief for essential workers. Both the goal there would be that that would be accessible for your employees. That language is still being discussed on the Hill. There's also discussions about liability relief for, again, companies like yours that are essential businesses, for liability relief if workers get sick. So those are some of the things that are being talked about for the next phase of the stimulus package. There's also, as you know, there's been some discussion about infrastructure expenditures as part of that stimulus package. And I know rural broadband is a high priority for a lot of folks. And there is some hope that they'll address rural broadband and waterways issues as well in that stimulus package. That might, depending on how things evolve, that might end up in a later package as well. And then just going back to the resources on our website, I know there's a lot of conversation now about, you know, opening up and what will be the strategies that are used to open up. And it's as soon as we start to get that type of information from CDC and from FDA, others, we'll be sure to post that on the website and pass that along to you as well. Lastly, you may have seen that the White House announced a new initiative that is geared toward restarting the economy. Jim Collins from Corteva is on that group, so that's good to see that the seed industry is being represented at a very high level, and hopefully we'll get more intel on those conversations. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Pat to talk about state-specific issues. Pat, I did forget one thing before I turn it over to you. If you guys can keep us posted on any issues relative to PPE, I know we sent out a request with a quick turnaround a couple weeks ago, but that's an issue that is discussed frequently in Washington with people like the Department of Homeland Security. So if you are experiencing shortages, please let us know so we can pass that on. It's always helpful if we have specific things to point to. Okay, Pat, now I'm done.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I hope everybody's family and team are staying safe and healthy. Interesting phenomena going on in the states. Everything is focused on COVID and So there's not a whole lot of activity that affects us directly within the state. So it's kind of an easy watch right now, but we're certainly staying on top of that. In a couple of states, kind of some unique circumstances going on. In Michigan last week, the governor issued a stay-at-home order that was kind of confusing and basically just limited only businesses, only medical and food-related businesses could stay open. Well, within part of that, garden centers were officially noted as not being exempt, and therefore any of the big box businesses that had garden centers like Walmart or Home Depot, that type of thing, they had to close those areas to shoppers. And that within that got included seed. So seed was not mentioned in the order at all, but it got caught up in the ruling in that way. And so there were a lot of folks that were just general public, and it even got a lot of press that the people were concerned about not being able to buy seed or buy gardens. But and even working with the Michigan Farm Bureau, they solicited over 50,000 comments to the governor's office specifically for garden centers to stay open. Unfortunately, the way the state law works, once the governor issues an order, it cannot be rescinded. So it is what it is, but I think the governor got the message, and if she decides to do something again, then obviously they'll take that into account. So you've probably seen a lot of press on that. And that order expires on the 30th of this month, so we'll see where that goes. In Puerto Rico, it's been talked about on and off about whether or not our seed and biotech research facilities that on the island were able to operate. They have been given a specific exemption, and even last weekend for the religious holiday, they were allowed to continue to operate, even though the country is still in a very strict shelter-in-place situation. So that's gotten worked out. That's settled out. Our Puerto Rico people are able to continue to operate and working out fine there. I am asking the crowd, I've heard a rumor about a rule in Georgia that only allows transportation variances from businesses within the state, but I haven't been able to verify that. And if anybody has any insight into that, I would certainly welcome that, or at least give me a chance to chase it down. Basically, you either have to be bringing something in the state or taking something out of the state and not driving through the state. So that's the only one I've heard of. But if you hear of anything at all in any of the states, certainly send me a note. I would appreciate it. And just that's about the only way we can hear about all these different variances between the cities that we're seeing as well as within the states. And then kind of along the lines with the Michigan order, the small packet seed business is booming right now. I hear stories about outages and inventory shortages in that arena. So everybody's wanting to plant a garden right now, and seed's pretty cool. So thanks for all the work that you guys have been doing and the help that you've been giving to the staff. Excuse me. And certainly give me a call if you need any help with anything. With that, I'll turn it over to Virginia, who wants to talk about trucking and H2A.
Thanks, Todd. Good morning, everyone. Some updates from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration for y'all. On Monday, the FMCSA issued an expanded FAQ document for state driver licensing agencies and commercial driver's licenses around what's permissible during the COVID-19 emergency. It's a guidance document, doesn't have the force of law, but does provide clarity for what there are flexible actions for those groups during COVID-19. We have linked to that document on the ASTA member on the ASTA website. It's on the public-facing website under the transportation bullet point, so you can see that there. The FMCSA also expanded their emergency declaration a couple of days ago. However, that expansion was only expanded to include refrigerator coolants for COVID-19. There was a call on Wednesday, and at this point, it seems unlikely they will expand it to include seeds. However, if your company is has a specific example of an issue you're having with hours of service, if your truckers aren't able to deliver the seed to the customer or that sort of thing, and you have a specific example, please provide that to me. That will help us strengthen the argument with FMCSA and USDA. asked to why seed should be included, but they really have asked us if we have concrete examples and not just hypotheticals. So my email's on the website. Please feel free to reach out to me if you have those to provide. And switching over to H2A, we weren't going to have an update on this until Wednesday. We had an exciting announcement from the Department of Homeland Security. So DHS has issued a temporary final rule that will go public on Monday that would amend H2A requirements during the COVID-19 emergency. So essentially, any H2A petitioners with a valid temporary labor certificate who are concerned that they will not be able to get all the workers requested for temporary positions during COVID-19 can start employing foreign workers who are already in the U.S. and in valid H-2 status immediately. They're also temporarily amending regulations to allow H-2A workers to stay beyond the maximum allowable 3-year period in the U.S. The temporary final rule is effective on Monday. So if you have questions about that, please let me know. We linked to the press release on the AFSA website, and we'll also link to the temporary final rule when it goes public. And I would also just add, as always, if you're having issues with any temporary H-2A workers, again, please let us know so we can figure out how best to help. And with that, I'll turn it back to Jane for Q&A.
Ellen and Libby, do you want to?
Yes, I will open
the Q&A.
I think we have a question here from 801701. You have a question?
Yeah, this is Rob Wendell. How are you guys doing?
Fine, thank you.
We're hanging in there.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, just wondering if you guys back there in the inner workings of the federal government have heard anything about a phase two or a next round of PPP.
Hi, Rob. Yeah, we do think that the PPP program is going to be replenished. I think the question right now is, will that be done quickly as sort of a smaller package with some of the Democrats' the things they're interested in making sure get funded. And, you know, there's some talk of getting that done even as soon as next week, or will the, I guess, the partisan rancor continue and they're not able to move quickly on it. But our expectation is that it will get done sooner rather than later.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
And I'd also add that in a perfect world, it would have been done last week, but this is Washington.
Understood. Thank you.
We have a question coming in via email about PPP. Can anyone speak to an update on PPP?
I think what I gave you is what I know. I do know that, I mean, I guess the one other thing I would add is I think that one of the goals of the Democrats also is to make sure that the PPP is equitably distributed. So there may be some modifications to the program in terms of targeted eligibility or things like that. But that's all being negotiated right now.
I have another question. Just a second. I need to find the number to unmute. One moment. Wendy, I'm coming to you. Just got to find your number. Sorry, team. One second.
You're all filled the void for a second. So, you know, we were providing that information about sort of what is happening with the funding for PPP. I'm assuming, you know, based on the regulations, people are working with their own local lenders and things like that. We do have some basic information about the PPP program up on our COVID-19 website. Or if there's other specific information people need help with, you know, definitely let us know.
Ellen, you want to come back to that question? We can go ahead and move to Abigail, and then we come back after the international presentation.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Why don't we do that? Okay. Abigail,
thanks.
Do you want to go ahead?
Sure. Thanks, Andy. Good morning, everybody. A couple updates from the international side of things. First, last Friday, the AFTA officers and some of our committee chairs and staff had a call with Undersecretary McKinney, who is USDA's Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs. He was checking in to get information on how the seed industry has been responding to the COVID-19 pandemic, and also, you know, wanted to get an update on how that might impact our policies and priorities overseas. So we had a really productive conversation with him and some good opportunities for follow-up in the coming weeks. The biggest challenge that we're hearing from folks to international seed movement is in the logistics space. Air cargo capacity is still significantly reduced, and most major carriers are putting in surcharges, which are driving up costs. The good news is that this week the FAA issued some safety guidelines for air cargo, which is actually making it easier for passenger planes to convert to cargo only, not only in their bellies, but actually able to remove seats from some of the passenger jets and move more cargo. So that is a very positive sign to help reduce the squeeze that everybody's facing. Trucking and ocean shipping overseas and coming into our ports are also experiencing some delays as supply chains are being disrupted. But really what we're hearing is that countries are still issuing phytosanitary certificates and moving seed through customs. The only major exception with that is India. They've significantly restricted the ability to import or export product for the next several weeks. So, We're trying to keep tabs on all of our major countries where members are moving seed through. We'd love to hear from you if you have any particular issues that you're experiencing or any questions about a specific country. Please let me know, because we are in contact with other national and regional seed associations, as well as the International Seed Federation. And we do have links to several of the other associations' COVID pages on our COVID-19 page, so you can check that out as well. A couple other things, detention and demurrage charges that are implemented on containers at the ports that have used up their free time if they're sitting in a terminal and can't be picked up due to congestion delays. We've been involved with a broader coalition activity on that, sent a letter to Larry Kudlow and USDA Secretary Perdue, asking them to help put pressure on the Federal Maritime Commission to implement guidelines which basically would not hold a shipper responsible for these charges if they're imposed in situations that are outside of the shipper's control. So situations like port congestion where somebody, a trucker, can't pick up the container, we're behind an effort and supporting an effort to exclude those charges. So if detention and demurrage is an issue that you're experiencing at U.S. ports right now, please feel free to reach out to me and I can help provide some additional guidance on that. So that's all for me. I will turn it over to Rick to cover the FIDO side of things.
Okay, thank you, Abigail. In regards to FIDO, not much has changed since we reported last week on the call. India apparently continues to be locked down, so it's just impossible right now to get seed out of India. The labs aren't working, and the government people are not there to issue the FIDOs. And there are efforts underway to try to get that changed around in the next week or two, but right now India continues to be locked down. However, countries in that area like China and Thailand are getting back to normalcy as they're a little ahead of us in their management of the pandemic. So those labs are coming back online over there. We did hear that the Jevs lab in France is closed, but for certain kinds of tests, the EU is allowing outside labs that they approve. So if you have any issues there, please let me know, and I'll do what I can to help. And then finally, we on our APHIS call yesterday, we heard that a lot of additional countries are now accepting scan versions or electronic versions of FIDOs in this interim period. And again, if you have any snags with trying to get FIDOs or copies of them or whatever to get your shipments moving, please let me know. But right now, things seem to be moving along. Here in the U.S. in particular, our labs are still functioning. We're still getting lab test results. Government folks at the state and federal levels are still there to issue the FIDOs and so forth. So, but again, if there's any, a lot of these FIDO issues are company specific. So if you're having any particular issues, please feel free to email me or give me a call. That's about it. Thanks.
Okay, are we ready to move into questions then? Take that idea. All right, Wendy, I'm going to unmute you. Sorry about the delay there.
No worries.
You can be unmuted. Go ahead.
Thanks, Ellen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. I just have a really quick question about the PPP, and you may or may not know the answer, but, you know, since a really, really small percent of folks were funded, do you know if they're going to just utilize and kind of shift over all of those other applications into consideration right away once it gets issued, or are we going to have to go through that whole process again of applying?
I don't know the answer for sure, but I would imagine they would not make you reapply. That they okay. The idea would be to replenish it, but I think to add maybe some accessibility for new applicants. But I sure hope they don't make you reapply. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Any questions on the international side for the Ask the International team? Okay, we'll move into just a quick update on our PLDC meeting for the summer and some of the cancellation, other things that we have going on there. Jennifer?
Thanks, Andy. So as you've probably heard, we have had to cancel the in-person policy and leadership development conference that was planned for this June in Indianapolis. Due to COVID-19 concerns. But in its place, we have been working amongst the ASTA team to develop a plan for the summer for the necessary ASTA business that needs to still be conducted. There are several working groups that have important work that will continue, as well as the ASTA Board of Directors meeting that was scheduled for June 17th, which will still be held that day. So there is a schedule of those working groups and committees that will still be meeting virtually, and members of those working groups and committees will be invited for those scheduled days. In addition to that, there is a series of open sessions for all ASTA members to participate in that's being planned across several weeks in the month of June and July. Some of those, we already have some ideas in mind of what will be offered there in terms of topics like state legislative review, innovation and policy, possibly a hemp session, and the state of the association in general. There are additional open slots for educational sessions that are still being developed as the news continues to evolve and as we evaluate from the membership what's most important and timely and relevant for your needs this summer. So watch for those announcements coming out in the near future, and there will be a packaged combination of all of that content offered in our proceedings gallery, if not other places as well, at the end of July to package all of that together for you. In addition to that, there's a commemorative program that's being developed that will be sent either digitally or in hard copy version to all ASTA members this summer to acknowledge several things that are still being commemorated, and there's still a rotation of our ASTA leadership this year, which goes on in June, and so on and so forth. So that will be coming to members later this summer as well.
Thanks, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Bethany, update on communications, please.
Sure. Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to provide you a quick update on some of our external communications efforts. Wanted to make sure, first of all, that everyone saw Andy's op-ed in AgriPulse earlier this week. And in case you missed it, it's on the theme of food security and the critical role of the seed industry in continuing to meet demand for healthy, safe, and affordable food during these challenging times as we work closely with farmers and others on the front line and along the food chain. So we encourage everyone to share that through your channels if you haven't already. I'll include a link to that in the follow-up message that goes out after this call, or you can also find it on ASTA's LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter channels and share it from there. In other news, as you've probably seen, there's been a lot of media attention around the spike in home garden seed demand. I've received inquiries from Bloomberg, Reuters, NPR, AgriPulse, and other trades, and you may also have seen the segment on the CBS Morning Show and the article in Forbes. So it's a hot issue right now, and I've been connecting reporters with ASTA member companies who are working in this space and also with the National Garden Bureau for comment. And one thing I did want to bring up for awareness, I had a comment from one of the reporters that I was talking to that a farmer she knew when he was getting his seed had to sign for it, and so he had to be around other people when they came to the farm. And it's just anecdotal and brought up as an FYI, not something that she was planning to write about, but she was surprised that there wasn't social distancing in place for the seed delivery. So I assume this is an anomaly, as I know that our companies have talked a lot about what they're doing as far as safety protocols. But if anyone has info that you'd be willing to share with me about some of those specific safety procedures, including social distancing and contactless delivery, it would be helpful for me just to be aware of those in case this issue does come up again in the future with the media. And then in general, just reporters are really hungry for content right now. So if you do have ideas on positive stories or challenges you're facing where media attention might be helpful, let me know, and I'll keep those in mind as I continue to have conversations with reporters. And I will hand it back to Ellen for questions.
We do have one in the queue.
Hi, this is David Flackney. I just wanted to mention one thing that I think if you're not tracking yet, it's going to be something that we're going to need to, as an industry, track pretty closely. We've already noted that a number of states are implementing face covering requirements for essential workers and asking that employers provide face coverings for their employees when they're in certain activities as part of their essential work on a daily basis. And so I believe this is going to increase as we see more states begin to open up, and there's going to be additional requirements as to what that looks like, and face coverings is likely something that, as an industry, we need to track what's required of the employer, what's required, you know, in the marketplace to make sure that we're being good citizens and maintaining our exemptions. So I just wanted to put that on folks' radar screen, and I do think it's a communications opportunity for ASTA to track that and make sure that all of the members and the companies are aware of, as these requirements come out, you know, what they need to be doing in order to make sure that we're following the directives that each state and locality are putting forth as far as face coverings, et cetera.
Hey, Dave, that's a great point. It's Andy Levine. I was just, as we were sitting here talking, I just saw something come over from NAM, National Association of Manufacturers, that raised that issue. I think right now in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, two spots over here on the East Coast, and that's something that we'll have Pat work with NASDA and our state association, state regional association, so that we can track that and keep folks up to speed on that. But yeah, you're spot on. As we start to see some opening, there's going to be some requirements there on critical employees or employers to make sure they have the proper equipment for the people. So thanks for that heads up.
Yep.
Any other questions? Okay. James, do you have anything else from your side?
No, I think, you know, our goal is to be efficient with your time, so we're happy to let you have a little back of your morning. Our plan is to schedule the next one of these in another 2 weeks. I'd like to say maybe we can stretch that out, but my guess is more things will happen in the next 2 weeks and we'll want to reconvene. But we're I think we've got it covered for today.
Okay, I will. The only thing I will add is, Jane said, and in Virginia, there will be some announcements in the near future on both additional support for the farming community, you know, likely in that produce, cattle, livestock, and dairy side of the world, and then also the PPP program. We will be getting that out to everybody as soon as we have any information there and putting it up on the website as well. So please take a look at that, and as everyone mentioned, if you do run into any challenges or issues or things you want to share that we can get out to the rest of the seed industry, please let us know, and we will get on top of those as quickly as possible. We greatly appreciate everybody's time and support, and we wish you the best for a safe weekend and hopefully somewhat relaxing. Take care, everyone.